If you'd like to follow along in the Bible, we'll be looking at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 7. We'll pray for the Spirit's guidance. Our Lord and our God, as we open your book of life, I just pray that you give us wisdom and guidance to understand what you want us to take away from this message here this morning, Lord. I pray for a measure of maturity for all of us, and I pray that I represent you properly. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You may be seated. Last Sunday, I preached kind of the new year's, the new beginning, you know, new for Christians. And so it's kind of a follow-up with that. I mean, Purcell was going to preach, but he wasn't feeling good, so we reshuffled. But I really want you to concentrate where it says here, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What it's speaking about, each part, it's each member of God's church. When you are saved, you have just been equipped for your task, your part to play in the body of Christ for this time in history. Something that God had planned in the future for you to do. But not only that, he empowers you to do it. He equips you to do it. He is transforming everybody here who is a true believer. He is transforming you constantly into what he wants you to be. You know, in Ephesians 1:19, it says, and what is the immeasurable greatness of the power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Immeasurable power. We can't imagine the power we have, because it's God working through us. God's transforming us. We have to remember where we all came from. Dead in our sin and trespasses, we are made alive in Christ. Held captive by Satan, now we're held captive by the love and forgiveness of Christ through the Holy Spirit. A future of pain and torment in hell. And now we have a future of immeasurable grace, immeasurable power, and eternity with God in heaven. We must remember the gratitude we have toward God. He did this while we were sinners and didn't deserve any of it. Like I say, I like saying it's what he did to us. He did it to us. He loved us, saved us, and that was his doing. But what does he want from us? Sums it up. For by grace, Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And a little reminder, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the results of works, so none of us can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God saves us because he wants to. He has the right to, the power to do it. Then he says, okay, I saved you. Now you're part of my church. You're part of my divine plan for this time in history. No accidents. You are here. If you're a believer, if you're hearing this message and you're a believer, it's part of God's plan. It's part of God equipping you to advance his church, to do your part in history right now in his church. It tells us in Philippians 2:12, if you're wondering what our task is, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you're a believer, you're already saved. What he's talking about here is sanctification. But it is God who is working in you for his good pleasure. He is the one who has given you all those blessings that I mentioned earlier. He is perfecting his saints. We are called to be perfect. Matthew 5:48, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In reality, there's three areas of perfection. The first area is our positional perfection. We are perfect because of the atoning work of Christ. We are perfect in the Father's eyes because Christ has covered us, which makes us positionally perfect because we're a believer. We've been saved. What God has done to us, not what we did, is out of his good pleasure. The second perfection is we will have a heavenly perfection when we leave this earth, leave this sinful body. And we'll have an eternity without sin. It'll be perfect. No pain, no suffering. The perfection we're looking at today is a process of perfecting you into mature manhood or womanhood, as God demands of his saints. Again, this is not a sinless perfection. This is a functional perfection where you're mature enough where you can start adding to God's church by being faithful to the body, by doing what God has called you to do in a manner with enough perfection to make a difference. It's functionally perfection. Skilled perfection. It's like I used the example in the past. I grew up with my dad, who was a carpenter and a home builder. When I started using the tools, I didn't know how to use those tools. I had to be perfected in them through time and time. And I followed in his footsteps, had the trade. Got better and better and more skillful using the tools. Was I absolutely perfect with them? No, but I was functionally perfect. I still got all my fingers, so I was carefully perfect. But that's what God wants us to be as believers, effective saints for the body of Christ. Effective. Again, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. See, we're not in this by ourselves. It's God working in us. We have capabilities far beyond our own dreams as to what we can do. We may not even understand how God is working in us now, but he is working and maturing each and every true believer in here toward that perfection, toward that maturity as believers. And he has given you the power to do it, and in time he will give you the understanding and the wisdom to know what he wants you to do. That time will come. That time will come. He is maturing you for what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That's part of my task, part of Purcell's task. I don't know what your tasks are. Our task is, and he tells us, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Did you catch that? Our job is to equip the saints, you, and you, for the work of ministry, for the work that God has called you out to do. Our job is to equip you, to teach you the Word of God, and you go out in your workplaces into the world and take that opportunity to share with others where God has placed you. For us, the responsibility is found in 2 Timothy 2:2. You then, my child, be strengthened by grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach it to others. We're building the saints up for ministry, for your individual callings. Again, that's between you and God. I have hard enough time figuring out what he wants me to do. Now, we have pastors and teachers in the body, but they must go according to his word in their teaching. We must encourage the saints that you are such vital members of God's church at this time of history. The only way it will advance is by you maturing in your faith, in your calling. It is the individual members that grow the church. You know, fathers, you're the spiritual leader in your households. You're the ruler of your family government. God will hold you accountable for your wife's and your children's spiritual growth. That doesn't fall on my shoulders or for Sel's shoulders. We teach you, you teach your children. God gave them to you. It's through the study of the Word and through prayer and the seeking out of God's wisdom. Again, you're not alone in this. The Holy Spirit is working in you. You may at times feel incapable of doing that. You are wrong. If you are in Christ, you are wrong. The giver of life gave you those children. He will give you the wisdom to equip those children and train those children. Verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. You have been changed. You have been transformed. You have the Spirit working within you, and you have the gifts of God working in you. Ephesians 4, it gives us a comparison. What we were and what we are. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt throughout deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Saints, we've been changed. We've been transformed. In Colossians 3:5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now that you're believers, it says, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and having put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You are being renewed. These are encouraging words. God is working in you. You're not out here by yourself. God doesn't say, oh, you're saved, go out and do what you want, and I'm not going to be with you. He is with you. He's ruling now. He's ruling heaven and earth. All authority is given to Him, and He passes some of that authority to each one of His members here to take dominion of the world. Take dominion of your families. Take dominion of your workplace. Yeah, it is beyond our own capabilities. I'm glad you think it is, because it is. But you have been supernaturally gifted. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. It is God who works in you for His good pleasure. What do you think His good pleasure is? It's to advance His church. It's to build up His church. And in this time of history, it's on us. We're the ones. We're the culture changers. But we're not on this journey alone. Our responsibility is to take the steps to grow as rapidly as possible. How do we do that? Well, you're here. You're hearing this message. You're empowered saints. What are you going to do with that power for God? How are you going to please God? How are you going to advance His church? That should be a struggle in each one of every one of your minds. What can I do to advance God's kingdom? Why has God placed me here? We must understand the fullness of Christ. Studying His Word and prayer so we can teach our children and others have an answer for the hope that is in you. Be bold enough to confront evil. To be bold enough to stand up for God. You know, the tabernacle was torn away. Moses was veiled. The people could only see less of God than we can before Christ and His crucifixion. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. What he's saying is when you're saved, you have that closer relationship with God. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses read, a veil lies over their hearts, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That transformation is occurring in each and every believer, from one glory to another. What he's saying, you're getting stronger and more mature, stronger and more mature. It comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. You have the capabilities to teach your children and your grandchildren, your neighbors, this nation, concerning the things of God. You can have effect on the lost through your prayers, through your witness, through your words. When we stick to doing it God's prescribed way, stick to the Scriptures. Never compromise. Never try to trick anybody into Christianity. Tell them the truth and let the Word of God penetrate their heart and their marrow and their bones. You know, 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Varied grace. We have different gifts. Again, go to God and ask Him what your gift is. Take the steps to mature yourself by being faithful in His Word, faithful in attendance, faithful in tithing, faithful in everything He requires of you, and He will reveal what He wants from you. He will reveal what you are to do with your life. In verse 13 of that, it tells, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. That should be each and every saint's goal. Mature manhood, mature womanhood in Christ. We're to use the gifts to help others mature. Again, whether it's family members, other church members, people we work with, and enemies that hate us. We are to share God's truth in a loving way And rebuke is one of those loving ways. With all authority, let no one disregard you. Because when you're speaking the truth in love, there's power in the words of God. They will not come back void. They will have an effect. It tells us to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Building up, adding to the body of Christ. So who builds the body of Christ up? It's you, and you, and you. Every believer is to be building up the body of Christ. We are to build his kingdom. We are to advance his kingdom at this point in history. We're his army. No one else will do it. Who else will do it? In verse 14, to the measure of a stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We have the answers, saints. We see through the deceitful schemes, the human cunning, the BS that we see going on in this nation. It's because God has been working in you, opening your eyes, sharing his truths. And these are trying times. They may get a lot more trying for us. What did Wesley say? Ungodliness is our universal and constant, our peculiar characteristic. And we see it time and time again, where nations and people fall away from God, back into idolatry, back into sinfulness. But for us believers, we have that power to change things. We have the power in the risen Christ as mediator. John Calvin said, the mediatorial work of Christ did not come to an end at the death and resurrection. That work for gathering and perfecting of his church continues, and its ultimate success rests securely upon the position which Christ now occupies. The position that Christ now occupies. What position is that? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, ruling now. Matthew 28:18 again. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. All authority has been given to Jesus. And as we just looked at, he passes that authority onto his church and onto the church members. We're in a fight. The church has to wake up. We're in a fight. So let's go fight. Let's go fight for our King, Jesus Christ. Represent him properly and see what he can do in our lives, our towns, and our nation. We win. The gates of hell will not prevail against this church. Let's act like winners. Represent our God as the winner, the King and the Lord of this universe. Then we'll see the power of God working through us, transforming lives, answering prayers. We need that maturity now more than ever, because what inheritance will we leave the next generation? What inheritance of Christianity? It's on our shoulders right now. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, teach us to be emboldened and empowered by you, O Heavenly Father. Teach us and remind us, Lord, that we are not an accident, that we are here to do works that you have prepared in advance for us to do. And not only that, you equip us to do those works. Works far beyond our own understanding, far beyond our own possibilities. It is because you work through your Holy Spirit, through our members, at your good pleasure. Teach us to be faithful, that we do not hinder the works you wish to achieve here in this church, here in this area of Wisconsin, here in this nation, Lord. Teach us to be mature and effective. In Jesus' name, amen.